Blog Talk Radio.
To Cheek to Cheek. I'm your host, Minister Tamika Dela Cruz. Tonight, we will discuss the rise on youth shootings, black-on-black crime, and the families left behind. Overseer Mac Frazier, are you in the studio?
Good evening. I am here in the studio. God bless.
God bless you. So tell me who Overseer Mac Frazier is.
Well, I am Overseer Harrington Mac Frazier, Jr. I am the proud pastor of the New Beginnings Christian Fellowship Church, located on 9819 South Avalon in the city of Los Angeles. I am the husband of Kotasha Mac Frazier and father of 8 children.
Okay. 8 children.
Yes.
I've had the pleasure of visiting your church a few times and hearing the word of God, and it was truly blessed each time that I visit. And tonight we're talking about black-on-black crime. My daughter, Dayami Dela Cruz, killed on November 4th, 2017. She was 28 at the time, and she has a three-year-old daughter now. I find myself trying to figure it out, how to figure out the new way to live my life without my child. And I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, Overseer Mac Frazier, tell me about the black-on-black, the youth crimes and the black-on-black crime.
Well, the black-on-black crime with our youth today is running rampant. As you may well know, I, too, have lost a child to gang violence. My son, Harrington McFraser III, he was gunned down in the city of Compton in 2014. And it is really a hard pill to swallow when you lose a child to gang violence.
Yeah.
So we just want to talk tonight about stopping the violence and the black-on-black crimes and try to educate the youth on how they are killing each other is just not happening for our race.
Amen. Amen. And then the families left behind. You know, we focus so much on, I think most people focus on the parents when we lose our children. And I think sometimes we tend to forget about everyone else that's affected when our children are killed. You know, their siblings, their friends. You know, it's a community that's affected when our children are killed. When anyone is killed, let's say that, but, you know, our children.
Yes, the community is affected. The siblings are affected. The family are affected. Everybody that is connected to the person who has been murdered is really affected, and it goes way beyond just family. It also affects friends and co-workers and just everybody. It's just a sad situation to see someone gunned down, and they don't know how many people that they are affecting by the act that they have committed.
Amen, amen. I never thought about it. I guess I was so selfish because she's my baby. And when she was killed, I selfishly only thought about my feelings and how hurt I was. But then when I realized, you know, her friends, she was on a party bus. And so there was a group of friends with her. And all these people witnessed what happened to my daughter. And I had to really back up and think about it and pray for them as well, because they were affected really, really bad. You know, they seen what happened.
Yes. And when I heard the news about your daughter, I immediately went into prayer, because I knew I knew the type of pain that losing a child could bring upon someone. So I in hearing that, I immediately went into prayer for you and your family, because I knew that it is a heartbreaking situation when that happens to a child and a family member. So we're still praying for you. We're still praying for you and your family. And I can't say I know how you feel, but I can say I know what you're going through, because I'm going through the same situation with the loss of my son, Harrington III.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I think for me, with my loss, I don't know why I felt like I could not deal with church. That was the number one thing that I couldn't deal with church. It wasn't that I had an issue with God, but I felt like I was the person that everybody looked at like, oh, that's the mother of the girl who got killed. But I realized that that's definitely the enemy, you know, that was trying to keep me from fellowshipping like I should.
Definitely, because I believe that when something like that happened, we should be motivated to go to church, because that's where the healing begins, through the word of God and listening to what the preacher has to say to us, but also through the people of God, because God, I always teach that God bless through people, because God's spirit is in us. So it is really a great thing to go to church and be loved on by the people. And just sometimes no words need to be spoken. Sometimes we just need a ear to listen and a shoulder to cry on. So I just believe that the church is an intricate part of when someone is hurting, that's where they need to go, to the house of God.
Amen, amen. I'm getting back there, because with doing this show, it's important that my relationship with God be strong, because I can't do his work if I'm not in tune with him. But as you know, it's a process. Because I think I find myself being strong for everyone else, but I haven't had that opportunity to truly grieve or cry or, you know, just really take it all in, because I still have a minor child, a 13-year-old, and then I have an adult child. So did that affect you that way?
Yes, it affect me, but what keeps me going strong is the belief that we can't just focus on what's been taken from us, but we got to focus on what's left to us. because what happens when we will go into a spiral of depression and forget about those who are still with us and that need us. And so it'll affect, not only will it affect us, but it will affect them also by us neglecting to do the things that they need us to do for them in their life. So we have to kind of continue to focus on not what was taken away, but honor what was taken away, but still stay focused on what God has left us to take care of. And I believe that with you, you continue to grow stronger every day. And just know that God have left you your other children to go forward and to mother also.
Amen, amen. So let me ask you this. What would you say to those that think violence is the way? What would you say to those who use guns as their solution?
I would say that when you use a gun for the solution and as opposed to violence, that you're not only hurting other people, family, but you're also hurting your family, because one day you're going to get caught as like the one who gunned down my son. He was caught and given 85 years in prison. So not only did it affect my family, but it also affects his family, because now two young black men are now gone away from their families. But the difference is that his family can visit him, but I can't. If I'm going to visit my son, I have to go to the grave site. But anyway, all families are affected by just one act of violence. So we really have to stop the violence, because if they keep it up, the graveyard would be the black man's planet, because everybody will be gone. Because and I believe that's what the enemy is doing. But you know, the Bible teaches us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I think we have to start grabbing these kids up and getting them back in the church and letting them get the word of God in them, you know, and they'll grow in faith, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I think they need to hear the word of God so they can get love implanted in their heart and get the hatred out of their heart. Because if we keep up with the violence and killing at the rate we're going now, we're not going to be around any longer as it comes to being a race.
So I know this is a little bit off, but still connected. So I know when I was coming up in school, we prayed in school. That was normal. That was part of our everyday schedule. We prayed. Do you think with prayer being out of school that this has somewhat taken away from the black family that we were raised with God, we knew to pray with everything, and now they don't have it in school? So do you think that this affects our black children as well?
Yes, I think that's a big problem by them taking prayer out of school, because you know, prayer is very intricate when it comes to having faith and believing in God, because even Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. So prayer is essential. We must pray. It's funny, because now that the violence is attacking these other suburban areas and is getting back to the people that's not our color, they're wanting more prayer now, and they want to do things about guns. But when it was just our people getting killed, you really seen no one in the higher places concerned about it. But now that it's touching all over, you know, everybody is being affected by the gun violence and the young kids, and it's just running rapid now. So we have to do something, not just in our urban community, but in all communities. We have to stand up and speak truth to power and let them know that we're not going to take the violence anymore. And we have to stand on the foundation of God, because that's where everything starts from.
I agree. Like I said, I hadn't really agreed with my daughter. Someone told me that, you feel a void when you lose your child. You feel a void in your heart. And I told that person, I said, I don't feel a void. I feel that she's okay. I feel that I know she loved God and she knew God, and God needed her more than I needed her. So do you feel the void? Do you feel a void with the loss of your son?
I do feel a void. because he was living with me, and it's hard to wake up and not to see the smile on his face and not to see the wittiness that he had about himself. It is a void, but I just believe that just like you said, she would say, my son was a deacon in the church. He was a well-mannered young man. You know, he was married, you know, and he was just starting his life, and he was just, he had a good job with the city, and he was just doing great things, I thought. And, you know, when that happened, it really took me for a loop, because, you know, it's out of order for us to bury our children. Our children should be burying us. So I just think, yes. No, I just wanted to say that it, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say, yes, it's hard, because when you, and I know you were close to your daughter, and I was the same with my son. And when you're close to them, it's like, you know, it's really a void. But like you said, I know you knew that she was saved. I knew that he was saved, and we knew that God, you know, has his divine plan for all of our lives, because one day we all have to leave this earth. And but it all depends on who you serve. If you're serving God, then you're leaving to go to somewhere greater. But if you're not serving God, then you're going somewhere. There's a place for all of us, believers and unbelievers.
Amen. Yeah. My daughter lived with me as well, and I find myself, I still wake up sometimes like, was this a bad dream? And I wake up like, this is still reality. It's still real. Because like you said, she lived with me as well. So I'm used to her silliness and smiling and asking me crazy questions, or I would joke with her and tell her when she went to go handle business, you need to take an adult with you, because she was making bad decisions sometimes. So I guess I'm so full with memories. It's so hard to, I guess I just miss. It's just a great love. And like you said with your son, my daughter, she was a bus driver. She was a great mom. She had a baby. She was 4.5 months pregnant when she had her daughter. So she was a micro preemie. And my daughter went to the hospital every single day. She looked up medical terms to be able to understand what was going on with her daughter. And she read the Bible to her every day at Harvard General through her incubator. So she planted the seed with her daughter as well. So to know that you're a great mom and put all this in, and someone, because they're upset with someone else and they want to use a gun, and her life was taken in the split of a second.
Right, and it's in the blessing, I believe, that came out of the situation for you is that you still have a part of her with you as it is in her daughter. You know, my son, he had no kids. He had no kids, but like you said earlier, that we do have memories. And I thank God for the memories, because sometimes we can just look back and remember and go through the Rolodex of our mind and find that he was a joyful person. He loved the Lord, you know, and he did everything he could to serve God, you know, at his best. And I just believe with my son that he – that God used him as, I want to say something, as if a sacrificial lamb, because if he would never have gotten killed, and the guy probably that shot him, he was out killing other people too, because he was a gangbanger. So I believe that my son was the sacrifice that got him caught, that he could not have any families or any mothers or fathers like you and I hurting because their child has been taken away from them by that gang violence. So I look at it like that. I look at it as he was someone God used to stop the person who was out there doing the killing, so that other family members and parents won't go through the hurt and the pain that you and I have been going through, and maybe still going through right now, you know.
And I told my daughter friends, I said, you know, I eulogized my daughter, and I told them that day, I said, it wasn't about my daughter. It's about the Lord speaking to you guys. So when your number is called, that you love the Lord, that you have given your life to Christ. And so I agree with you. I think things happen for a reason. The person hasn't been arrested that killed my daughter. But someone asked me.
But God knows.
Am I? Huh?
I said, but God knows.
Amen. But I forgive that young man. I forgive him for what. I forgive him before he even apologized to me. I forgive him already. And I hope Amen. That God has touched his heart and touched his mind and gave him a renewed mind to trust in him to lead and guide him and to put the guns down.
Right. So yeah, we just pray that.
I definitely agree with you.
And we just pray that God will, you know, will be done. You know, the Bible teaches
Amen.
Us that if you spill a man's blood, then your blood will be spilled too. So we just continue to pray that God will be done in that young man's life. And like you just said, hopefully he turns his life around and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and become saved. You know, hopefully he'll confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that he died, and on the third day that God raised him from the dead. And we pray that
Amen.
The Bible said that you shall be saved. So we just hope, you know, we just pray and hope that he come into the knowledge of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What would you say to grieving parents? I focus so much on grieving mothers, and I guess I selfishly forget about fathers, but I know there are fathers. What would you say to grieving parents? What tools would you give them on how to deal with grief or deal with the loss of a child?
I would say just continue in prayer, but more importantly, just take it day by day, you know, because God gives us today, and all we have is today. We don't know tomorrow has come. Yesterday has came and gone, and tomorrow is not here yet. So I'll say just take it day by day, and there's going to be some good days. There's going to be some bad days, but just try to be strong in today and walk in the love and the memory that you still have of your lost child and just trust God. Most of all, just trust God. And I've just been trusting God through my walk with him and through my the loss of my son, and try to think good thoughts. But there are some days where you just, you know, some days the good thoughts don't come, and you just miss them, you know. And you know, when you raise the child from, you know, the day they were born all the way up, you know, to the day they were taken from you, you just
Amen.
Miss them. And you just, you know, sometimes you just don't know what to do. So I can say, well, just continue to trust in the Lord, and he'll do the rest, because there's nothing we really can do. And I know sometimes people come and try to, you know, comfort us with words and different things like that. But sometimes words just can't do it. I mean, because people just don't know how affected we become by the loss of our loved ones and our child. Because, like I said earlier, it's really out of order for us to bury our children, for our children should be burying us. And that's the order that God had planned for us. And my prayer is that when I'm ready to leave this earth, that I can be in my bed and my children all around me, and I can pass the blessing down. Amen. Like the
Amen.
Forefathers,
Amen.
The forefathers did in the Bible.
I have two sons left, so with them, we commonly joke with my daughter. We called her the boy of the family, because she was great with tools and can build all kind of stuff. So I tease with my son, and I'm like, well, I said, she left me with two sisters, so y'all got to step up to the plate. So we still, you know, we still have our jokes. My 13-year-old son, my daughter had a lot of moles on her lips, so my 13-year-old used to call her Black Old Lips, and she graduated last Friday. So we were walking to the school, and I said, what would you say to your sister? And out of nowhere, he says, I love you, Black Old Lips. So I'm like, oh, my God. So I guess with those memories, I still can laugh, because I can close my eyes and almost any picture I see, I can tell you what was going on, where we were, what we were doing. So I was blessed to have her, because she was a great child too. You know, we had our ups
Amen.
And downs. You know how we women are with each other.
Yes.
So we
yes.
had a few ups and downs, but no matter what, you know, I had the honor of being able to watch her do a sermonette in church. So
uh-huh.
you know, people, I have glorious memories watching her portray Jesus in a play. All kinds
Amen.
Of things. So I guess it warms my heart to know how much she loved God. And as parents, that's important to us. We want to make sure that our kids love the Lord and understand how important it is, you know, to love him and trust him.
Amen. And I believe this night was ordained by God, because by me hearing you speak of your daughter and the things that she did and how she was in plays. My son was the same way. He was in plays, and, you know, he was a great mimicker of people and of church and even of me, you know. He would go after service, put on my robe, and act like he was me. And it's just funny. And not only am I hurting, but also my daughter, my youngest daughter, she was there on the scene when it happened. So she saw everything.
Okay.
So I still have to be there. I still have to be there for her. And as you know, it's hard how you know, we stood to do the eulogy. I had to stand and do the eulogy over my son. So I believe that God has ordained us to be together tonight and talk about this because we both have walked similar paths as it pertains to the loss of our child. And yeah, so now I have to kind of look after her because she has good days and bad days, and she's seen it all, you know, transpire with her own eyes. So now I have to kind of keep a watch on her. I have to be strong for her. But, you know, when his birthday come around, you know, he was born on September 11th, you know, 9/11.
Oh, okay.
And, you know,
Yeah,
so we get together on that day. And the first year is always hard, but it's been a few years now, and it's still, you know, it's subsiding a little bit, but we still, you know, have our times that we, you know, go through it. And, you know, like I said, we're just trusting in God right now. And like you asked me earlier, how do we tell, what do I tell the parents? We just got to trust in God and believe, you know, with our whole heart that, you know, they're, you know, and we know that they love God and they received him as their savior. And now they're in heaven with him. So that's what gives me joy when I think about it. Yeah, I feel sorrow. Yes, I feel pain. But at the end of all the sorrow and the pain, I get a smile on my face knowing that he's in heaven with the Father. So I'm just grateful for that. And I know that one day I'll be there also with the Father.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I have a 27. My daughter was 28. My son is 27. And a few times he thought he wanted to commit suicide, and I've had to go to his house and like, you can't leave me now. Now I need you. So it's really hard to be strong for everybody else.
Right. And who's going to be there for you? It's like you taking on everybody else's being compassionate towards them, but it's hard. But that's why I said we just have to lean on God. And I want to let you know, Minister, that I'm here. If you need a shoulder to cry on, I'm here. If you need to talk anytime, just don't have to be on the radio show. But we're parents, and we have something in common, and we're going to see each other through. So I it's going to be times I'm going to need you, and I know, you know, I'll be here. I'll be there for you. So we're just going to lean on each other. Amen.
Amen, amen. Because a lot of people don't, if you haven't lost a child, and I think I don't care for when people say, I know what you're going through. You do not. You don't have a clue.
Right. You're right, they don't.
You know, that you give birth. You know, for a mother, we give birth. We carry them for 9 months.
Right.
And our job is to protect them. So I think in my heart, it's like, why wasn't I there? If she would have scooted over a little bit, she might, you know, I'll go through that part.
Yeah.
You know, if she would have done it, if she would have did this. Then I get mad. If she wouldn't have been trying to help everybody else, she would still be here. But I'm so happy that she was, her heart was to help others and sacrifice her own self because she saved a lot of other lives. If she wouldn't have been in the way, the bus driver would have been dead today.
Yeah, so she actually saved a life. So, and that's the way I look at it. Not, you know, her, you know, I said my son's life was taken, but it was taken to save other lives because he stopped a murderer. And your daughter, like you said, if she would have moved out the way, someone else would have been going through what we're going through. And sometimes I think we just can't be selfish. You know, we got to give God the glory because she was saved, but maybe the bus driver wasn't saved. So maybe she gave the bus driver a little more time that he can come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and he can get saved. So she's done a great work. So, and that's what God, you know, we ask God to use us, but we don't know how, and when he uses the way he wants to use us, it's not how we want him to use us, you know. So I think by you saying that that happened to your daughter and it would hit the bus driver. So she saved him. She gave her life to save a life. So we got to look at the positive. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's the way. So I'm gonna open it up and see if we have anyone who want to ask some questions or comments. Are you up to that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's see who we have out there.
Amen.
Okay, for anyone that may have questions or comments on tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you in. You can remain anonymous, or you can introduce yourself. Again, if you have a question or comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question. Okay, we do have a caller, Minister. Caller, area code 310, last 4, 1952. You are live on Cheek to Cheek.
Hello, good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Tamika. Hi, Pastor Mac Fraser.
Hello.
I know you. I know the both of you. I love you and love Tamika. I don't know what you're going through because I haven't been there, but I love what both of you are saying to people out there that are experiencing what the both of you have been through. Tamika's daughter, I'm her Shanti. I love her tremendously. Your son, I never got the pleasure to meet him, but I know your wife and I know your other children, some of them.
Amen.
And I love all of them too. But it is rough out here. And like you said, black on black crime, you know, need to wake up and get more into the word.
Amen.
Instead of always wanting to shoot each other. And, you know, if more of us get into the word, it'll be less crime. My brother, it's been years, he was my brother, but my brother was also killed. So I know how y'all feel. It may be different because he was my brother, but we were very close. And right to this day, it's been 39 years, but I still miss my brother.
Right.
So, you know, I still feel it, you know, and my mom, when y'all was discussing about that emptiness, you know, my mom, from time to time, she just start crying, you know. And I'd be like, what's wrong, Mom? She'd be like, I miss my son. You know, she feels it's a hole in her heart. You know, it's something missing, you know.
Yes.
And I told her, I don't know. I haven't been there. I do have a son, one son. And, yes, I pray for him every day, all the time, you know, because, I don't know how I would be able to deal with it. I can't say, you know, only God knows. But,
amen.
Like I said, I enjoyed this program tonight, and I enjoyed your word of wisdom that you were able to give to those who have lost children. And I just wanted to say I love the both of you.
Praise God. We love
you. And God be with you.
God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
All right. And y'all have a good evening.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, caller. If there's any other callers that have a question or comment, please dial 1 on your dial pad so that we can bring you in. If not, we will continue to tonight's broadcast.
You know, Pastor, I mean, Officer McFrager, I was telling you how silly my daughter was. But Pam that just called in, she called her Shanti. She called her Shanti. It was short for, her last name is Shorter, but Pam is real short. So it was Short and Auntie mixed together, and she called her Shanti.
Yeah.
So these are the silly memories that I get to I can be in the house by myself, and I'll think of something silly she did, and I'll just start laughing, like, girl, you know you're silly.
Right.
So,
Amen. You know, those people who are great in the world, God would never let, like my son and your daughter, God would never let their memory go away. There's always going to be somebody thinking about them, saying something about them because of who they were. And, you know, so they live on, you know, not only do they live on through us, but they live on through those people who were friends of them and things like that. So, you know, I can walk up and people can, we'll be talking about my son and the, you know, the wackiness, how he would do things and things like that. So it's just a blessing to know that, you know, they didn't die in vain, that they still live on and their memory still lives on. Another thing I want to say about this topic we're talking about tonight is that also we need help from the community, and the community, we have to stop being afraid of these young black children, and we have to stand up and be bold, that when we walk down the street and see kids from school fighting, that we stop and get out of our cars and try to break up the fight and try to, and I know people saying, oh, these kids are too crazy and stuff like that, but you know, we have to, God gives us a spirit of boldness, and we have to be bold enough to let these kids know that we are the adults, and you know, we are the ones who are looking and watching, and they just can't, you know, do what they want to do. You know, these kids are so, you know, ruthless these days, but still you have to be bold. You have to stand up and let them know that you are the adult. And a lot of them, you know, they have no respect these days. They'll curse in front of you, you know, they'll curse you out and things like that. And the parents, you know, have to start raising them, you know, the right way at home. That way, when they go out into society, that they know how to act and they know how to do things the right way. So I think, you know, we have to try to do a mentorship, and, you know, each one, you know, I know it sounds cliche, but each one teach one, and that everybody could know, you know, what to do and how to do it. You know, like every time I get a chance to be around young men, teenagers and young men that's over 21, I try to pour the wisdom and knowledge that I have just by going through life. I try to pour that into them so that they can understand life and try to have a jump start on life, and let them know that it's not about trying to just always be cool and trying to make the fast money, but it's about having work ethic and learning how to work with your hands and to grow. We tell our kids they can be what they want to be, but we never, you know, groom them and teach them what they need to do to be what they need to be.
Amen.
And, you know, I truly agree with you with, just, you know, I'm a woman, but with my son and daughter, when you said 9/11, I bought my house on 9/11. I got the keys to my house on 9/11. And
my children
both, at 14 and 15, we all did a roof together. We all did all the work in our house with our hands, and my kids did. My 13-year-old, he don't know anything about it. And he's experiencing things at school where now these kids are, the kids that he went to school with from kindergarten, now they're gangbanging. And he's like, wait, what happened? I thought we were just playing basketball on the court. Now everybody is from a certain gang, a certain hood. But my son knows his mom not playing. I'm at the school every day.
Yeah.
You can't have mine. You can't. And my 27-year-old, he tried to be from a gang. But me and Pastor Smith was at the crib meeting, so y'all can't have him either.
right.
I did
and
have
it's, and it's sad.
A question. It is, because I'm 47. I'll be 48 this year. But you have parents that are younger than me with 13-year-old kids, but the morals are not there. The goals are not there. Our elders don't cuss in front of our elders. You don't call an adult by their first name. All of that is out the door.
Yeah, now the way the system is set up is set up to where they come, you know, from the schoolyard to the prison yard, and it's, you know, it's the pipeline, you know, from school to prison, and now they're not giving any young men, they're not giving them a chance for a restart or a second chance. You know, when I was coming up, they when you did your first offense, they put you on probation. Now when you do your first offense, they're giving you a deal, and the first deal they're trying to give you is 3 to 5 years. So they're not giving them a chance to try to, you know, to reconcile their wrong and try to do right. So we have to teach our kids to do right so they won't get caught up into the system. And it's sad how they get them in the system and they serve their time, but they get out and they cannot vote and they get out and they can't get a job because now the felony tag is following them. I just feel if a child go to prison or go to jail, that when they serve their time, that should be it. Everything should be clear and they should get a fresh start. So, because a lot of them will be active citizens in society if they're given a chance. Because all kids are not bad; they just make bad decisions. And I believe that you know, if you make a bad decision, you should be able to bounce back from that bad decision and learn how to make the right decision so you can live a lawful life in the society that we live in.
Amen. I agree with you, and I also agree we have a caller.
Oh, yeah, we have a caller. So I'm just gonna bring the caller in really quickly here. We have caller area code 310 last 49411. You are live on Cheek to Cheek.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
I just wanted to call in. I'm a member of Overseer McFraser's Church. And I'm just so overjoyed on this evening because I believe that God, you know, as the overseer said, ordained this meeting and this radio broadcast. And I think that, you know, one of the things that will help the Black community is just having the wonderful role models and examples like the overseer. I don't know you personally, ma'am, but, you know, I'm praying for you and your family and your loved ones. But Overseer McFraser is just such a wonderful example of what a real man is. He's a father, a husband, and he, you know, walking the walk in such a tragic situation to lose Deacon McFraser so soon and so tragically. You know, Overseer was just, I don't know how besides to say, I know it was God that brought him, you know, through the whole situation like he did, but to do the eulogy and just everything that he went through, I just believe, like, you know, God used him because he knew that, you know, just for a time such as this, you know, for people just to see that you don't have to turn, you know, violence to violence. You know, you use prayer, you lean on God, you know, seek wise counsel, and, you know, it's just truly a blessing. So I just want to call in, and I'm so proud of my overseer, and I'm just so blessed to be a member of Ms. Guinness. So I just want to take this time just to call in and say that.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Spears.
No, God bless you, too.
Amen. If we have any other go ahead, Minister.
Oh, no, I was just saying that I agree with what this member said, because I had the opportunity to see when you went through what you went through overseer. And, man, a true example. Even Pastor Smith, when he lost his wife, I was a member of Greater Berean at that time.
Greater Berean,
and I'd like to, I seen the Friday his wife passed. He was at church on Sunday bringing a word. He was hurt, but he brought a word, and he never. So I've had the opportunity to have a few great examples. So when I did experience this, I knew immediately who to lean on. I knew to call on God. I knew that he would give me the strength that I did not have, and he has continued, because I thought I would fall apart, but I kept praying. I said, no, I cannot do it. And my little brother was killed in 1999, and my mother never really got back to her old self, and I guess for me, I didn't want to go that route, but I knew that I had to pray and have like-minded people around me. Overseer McFraser, I wanted to ask you, do you know of any support groups in the South Central area or the Compton area?
There was a support group that I'm a part of, but I haven't been too active with them because I've been so busy with ministry. But there's a support group by the name of Silver Lining of Hope with a pastor that's run by a pastor, Winfrey Bell. They reached out to me when the tragedy happened to my family with my son being taken from us. They reached out to me, and I became a part of them, and they help, you know, fathers and mothers that lost a child, and they are they pass out ribbons. Even the first lady Michelle Obama has received a ribbon from the Silver Lining of Hope. So they're an organization that helps parents with children that has been taken away from them. I don't have the address right offhand, but Pastor Bell, his church is on Zamora. It's on between Parmalee and Beard, I believe. So it's his church there. I think it's I can't remember the name right now, but yeah, I can get you the information.
We'll get it and put it up. Mm-hmm. Okay, and why do you think the Black community do not seek grieving counseling?
Because I think they think they can handle it on their own, and they don't think probably it helps. But I can say grieving counseling, it really helped, because after my son was murdered, I went to a therapist for a while, and it really helped me, because they was just somebody that didn't, you know, that really didn't know me, and that I can really talk to. But I would say if you have a pastor, that's what you have a pastor for, you know, because God has given them the spirit to deal with all different types of situations. And I believe that people don't want to go to their pastor because they don't want to share much of their personal life with him. But the pastor is the first person you should go to when something tragic happened in your life. But if you want to seek, I think it's also good to seek professional help if you want. I think the pastor is good for the spiritual side, and then the professional
Amen.
Is good for just the professional side, because no one that don't know the Lord can tell you how to trust in the Lord. It's like that mother telling you how to raise your baby but don't have any kids themselves. We want to go to somebody that knows, you know, that knows something about, you know, what we're going through and know how to deal with us. Because a lot of times, like I said, sometimes we just don't know what to say to people. And then, like I said, there's this thing that everybody says when you lose a child. Well, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know. If I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that, you know, I would be a rich man. Because, and I tell people at the church, don't just say something, just do it. Just whatever's in your heart,
Amen.
Just come up to the person
Amen.
And do it. If the Lord is leading you to hug them, just go up to them and give them a hug. And sometimes, you if you don't know what to say, sometimes it don't mean you have to say anything. You just be there and just give them a shoulder. Because sometimes, you know, I just need somebody that I can vent to. I don't need you, you know, I don't need you to be like Job, three friends. come telling me how I messed it and how God may have been putting this this trial and tribulation on me, and come to find out that wasn't even the case. God allowed that to come up on Job, and he was testing Job. But the end of the story is the best end, is that Job had double for his trouble at the end. So God blessed him
Amen.
With more than he had in the beginning. So I just want to say to you, Minister Tamika, God is going to bless you with more joy, and he's going to comfort both of our hearts, because that's the kind of
Amen.
God I believe we serve. He's not going to, you know, and he's going to mend our broken hearts.
Amen. Amen. When you said that, when everybody said, oh, if you need me, just call me, I made a few of those calls. My daughter had a best friend, and I didn't care for this young lady when she was friends with my daughter. I'm like, Dayami, what are you doing? She's different. And in the end, she turned out to be the absolute best. If I turned around, she was already there in the kitchen washing dishes. No, you got to eat. You got to take care of bills. You got to do this. She was absolutely remarkable. And I said, I said, this is God. I said, this is God. Because God, I judged her with just looking at the outer appearance and never took the time to get to know her. And I got to know her, and she's such a blessing. I mean, she moved to Vegas, and I'm happy for her, but she was there with me every step of the way.
Yeah,
so,
and I believe the one you thought that would be there was the ones that was not there. And the ones you didn't think that would be
that.
There. Yeah, yeah. So, and that sometimes how it goes, you know, for, you know, they say things with their mouth, but their heart be far from what they're saying. So we just have to continue to trust in God, you know, because he lets us know to put no trust in man. So we have to trust in God, even though we know people say things and say this. But, you know, and you know, I was brought up like the old folk. All we have is our word. And when I give my word, I try to keep my word. And that's how I was brought up. You know, I know that's it's dying now. People lie to you in your faith, you know, and say they didn't lie to you. So we're just thankful. I'm just thankful and grateful that I'm a man. I try to always be a man of my word. So if I tell you I'm going to do something, you can kind of count on that, what I said I was going to do.
Amen. So I want to ask you this before we end. I know we're coming to our close, because we gave the tools for belief. We gave the tools for those who don't have a problem going to church. What would you say to the grieving parents who have been hurt by church and they might not want to deal with church anymore?
I would say, you know, don't blame the church. Get into a church where you can trust the preacher, because nowadays people are looking at the man and not the God in the man. We have to go to church and not be in our feelings, and we have to go to church to serve the Lord and not serve man. And find a good teaching church that's teaching the true and living Word of God, and that's not just trying to glorify themselves, because nowadays we live in a time and era where preachers are trying to glorify themselves instead of glorifying God, because to God be the glory and not man. So we want
Amen.
To go to a church. I would say find you a church that's preaching and teaching the true and living Word of God, and that's going to cater to your needs and whatever you need, and God will do the rest. You know, we've gotten away from trusting God and having faith in God and believing that God, He is, and because He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we have to really put our faith and trust in God. You know, we put more trust in man than we do God, and God is the one that wake us up every morning. So it's like now it's funny, because church is now being watered down. And at New Beginnings Christian Fellowship Church, where I oversee the people there, I try to be real. I try to be relevant, you know, and I try to be transparent with the people and let them know that
Amen.
I am a man, but truly God is using this man for the work of the kingdom, and we have to just and if they could just stand with me and help, you know, further along the kingdom of God, because it's all about Jesus and Him crucified. So if we continue to stand on the foundation, which is Christ, you know, the foundation which is the apostles, the apostolic doctrine of the apostles, which is the teaching of the apostles, and Jesus is that cornerstone, and all the rest of the church, we're those other stones that can be placed in the area of the body of Christ, and that we can build the proper church, because one day Jesus is coming back for His church. He's coming back for His bride, and we have to be ready.
Amen.
I just thank God that He allowed a man like me to look after His bride until He come back for her.
Amen. We have a caller, I believe.
Yes, we do. This will be our last caller for tonight. Caller, area code 310, last four, 7053. You are live on Cheek to Cheek.
Hi, praise the Lord. I am calling to just congratulate and to encourage Overseer Mac Frazier. I am the wife of Overseer Mac Frazier, and my heart definitely goes out to anyone, you all, who have lost a loved one by violence or just period. You know, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. I just wanted to encourage you, Sister Tamika, and you, Overseer Mac Frazier, Pastor, Overseer, soon to be Bishop Matt Frazier, is doing such an awesome, awesome job at New Beginnings. God, I'm believing that He's just going to fill that church. He's going to overflow it. He's great. We walk the community. He's such an awesome pastor. He is such an awesome husband, and he's even a greater grandfather. And he's such just a wonderful, truly man of God that, like the previous caller had said, he walks upright, he lives, and what he preaches and what he teaches. And I know that God is well pleased with the work that he's doing in the ministry for the Lord. Also, I know he was trying to get the information. I'll be real quick. For the Silver Lining of Hope, it's Mount Olive Second Missionary Baptist Church, and the address is 9401 Zamar Avenue in Los Angeles. And I just wanted to encourage you all to just God, you know, God knows exactly how you feel, what he's the author. He strategically has done things, and we just need to follow the Lord's lead and just stay in the spirit. I love you all, and just God bless.
Thanks, God darling. Bless you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Okay, so Overseer Mac Frazier, I wanted to make sure that you gave your address and name of your church for whoever's listening in case they want to come by and visit, and your time.
Amen. The name of the church is New Beginnings Christian Fellowship Church. We're located at 9819 South Avalon, city of Los Angeles. Also want to invite everyone who is available to come out to my consecration as to the bishopric. We will be at Greater Mount Zion on the corner of 49th and Compton Avenue. Amen. With my son in the ministry, Pastor Ronald Bowden gives leadership there. So
Amen.
If you're not doing anything on July the 15th, please come by and witness the overseer, Mac Frazier, become the bishop in the Lord's church. So we thank you
Amen.
For this opportunity. Sister Tamika, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. And we thank God for what you guys are doing at this radio cast. And I just pray blessings upon everyone that is involved with this broadcast. And God bless.
Amen. I'm going to leave the scripture, and I'm going to ask that you pray for all our listeners that called in tonight and that was listening. I want to leave us with Psalm 147:3, brokenhearted, and bind up their wounds. So I wanted
Amen.
Parents that's out there listening to know that he will heal our broken hearts.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to say thank you. We thank you for tonight's broadcast. We thank you for Sister Tamika and the broadcast directors. God, we ask that you would bless the hurting mothers and fathers and loved ones that's lost loved ones, God. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray that you would comfort them. For you said in your word, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God, we ask that you would dispatch your Holy Spirit to give families that have lost loved ones comfort right now. Father, we know that you are God and you're God all by yourself. We ask that you would bless, heal, deliver right now in Jesus' holy and righteous name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you for being a dynamic guest. I look forward to having you on the show again after your bishop.
Amen. It's my pleasure.
We will introduce you as bishop.
Amen. Thank you so much for having
me.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed the broadcast tonight, and to God be the glory.
Amen.
God
so we'll talk
glory.
Soon. I'll
Amen.
Be there
to
visit soon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you all for tuning in tonight on this broadcast of Cheek to Cheek. Please feel free to follow us every week on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Cheek to Cheek, on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Woman to Woman, and on Thursdays at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. Again, we thank you for joining the broadcast. Have a great evening.
God bless you.